So the reading this morning, is from Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 to 12. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you, then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets.
Thank you, Alison. We're continuing a series on the Sermon on the Mount, and this is a passage that God has for us today. Getting good gifts. Ask, seek, knock. One of my earliest memories was going into the city centre on a bus with my mother, going to the old department store, Bowen's, up some escalators to the fourth floor into a glamorous Christmas wonderland. Does that ring any bells for any other seniors here today? It was huge. It was a parallel universe. It was a glamorous expanse as far as one could see in any direction. Tinsel, snow, bright lights, and a huge red train on a track. And it carried people mile after mile, all of which somehow fitted into a small part of the fourth floor Bowen's. I tell you, everything about it was just fantastic. Of course, this massive locomotive had a special purpose. It took kids like me to a huge throne upon which there was, you guessed it, the world's one and only Father Christmas. Which was scary when he were asked to sit on his knee. I mean, his sheer greatness, of course. And he would ask the age-worn questions, although, of course, I didn't know that they were age-worn, that he'd been asking the same questions for hundreds of years. I didn't know that. Have you been good? And what's the other one? What do you want for Christmas? And I experienced this magical wonderland just a couple of times. It was a ritual between my mother and I when other kids were at school. So I guess when I was about five, it came to an end. And I want to say my memory is quite clear up to the point of sitting on his knee. I mean, it may be a little embellished by time, I'm not quite sure, but my memory is clear up to that point. I don't recall what I said in answer to the question, have you been good? But I do think that I'd worked out that this obese gentleman had lollies and that if I answered in a certain way, I would get more sugar. And I shamefully suspect that realization would have skewed my answer somewhat. In our passage today, Jesus addresses his followers on prayer. That's our focus today. We're here to talk about prayer. Jesus' words on prayer, they're taken by many as a promise that God is the Father Christmas that we all want. Father Christmas on steroids. Ask whatever you want. If you're good, you will get what you ask for. It's easy to see how this passage communicates just that and how it's understood just that way. I mean, look again at verses 7 and 8, the beginning of our reading today. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Can you see three imperatives here? Things that we are clearly told to do. And each imperative is accompanied by a wonderful promise. If you want something, ask, you'll get it. If you don't know where it is, seek it, you will find it. If there's an obstacle, knock, that obstacle will give way, will be removed, the door will be opened, you can go through. It sounds like a dream come true, better than unlimited access to Gina Reinhart's credit card. No strings attached promise that we can take to God a shopping list, a wish list, in the same sort of way that kids do to Santa. The only difference being we can be confident that our wishes will come true, because after all, God is God and not just somebody in fancy dress. Are these simple actions with straightforward guaranteed outcomes, is this the picture that we really have before us? Well, I want to say Jesus, well, he's not a type of celestial Santa. And so we do need to carefully, very carefully, look through this. Please go back with me to imagine a quiet, sweet and totally innocent five-year-old sitting on Father Christmas's knee in Bowen's department store. Okay, that's a bridge too far if you're thinking of me, because I wasn't any of those things. What would five-year-old you have asked for if you could have asked for absolutely anything? And you're encouraged to do that, to ask for anything. So what would you have asked for at the age of five? Well, I can, even though I can't remember what answer I gave, I can have a pretty good guess at what I would have said. And I think I would have asked for a shop full of lollies. Seriously, I think that would have been what I would have asked for. And that would have been the worst thing I could have got. Would have been absolutely terrible. I don't think I'd be alive. It's my sixth birthday. If God answered every request that we ask positively, we would often end up with so many things that would harm us. There's a truth in that. And that's why we don't give toddlers what they ask for. They might ask for matches or machetes and things like that. We don't give them to them. No way. So what exactly is Jesus saying to us? Ask and it will be given to you. That's what Jesus said. Seek and you will find. Jesus said that. We're not here to explain this away. Knock and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. As always, we've got to look at it in the context to truly see what it says. This comes near the end of Jesus' magnificent Sermon on the Mount that we call Sermon on the Mount. Jesus seems to have come to a turning point in his sermon. It's as if now he's starting to summarize things that he's already said. The asking bit captures so clearly the pattern of the Lord's Prayer in chapter 6, early in the Sermon on the Mount. It's not a selfish asking, but it's an asking for daily provision and protection from evil, that God and his will, that God's will would be done. Chapter 6, verses 15, 5 to 15. And that's how and what we are to ask for. We're to ask with a boldness before God for God's provision for our needs and for the kingdom to be spread through even us, as weak as we are. And so as soon as Jesus starts talking about asking again, of course it's going to go back to what he's taught about asking earlier in the sermon. And the seeking bit, it's not a self-centered grasping. It's capturing the command to seek first God's kingdom. Chapter 6, verse 33. Likewise, the knocking bit, it captures Jesus' teaching on how easy it is to be waylaid by, what did we see a couple of weeks ago? Worry and materialism. Chapter 6, verses 19 to 34. We are commanded to ask, seek and knock, not to make us wealthy and wealth and healthy, in order that God's kingdom will be furthered. And as we pray in this way, our prayers will be answered in the best possible way. We can be assured of that because of the perfection and power of God. And that's precisely the truth elaborated in the next four verses of this passage. Look with me again at verses 9 to 11. Which of you, if your son or daughter asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? No loving parent, as imperfect as we all are, would substitute for our children something that looks like a stone, a bread roll that looks like a stone. Oh, you can have this stone when you're asking for bread. Tricked you. Nor would we swap out a fish for a dangerous snake. Ask for a fish, give them a dangerous snake that looks similar. Even in our imperfection, we only want to give good things to our children. That's a reality. How much more so does our perfect Heavenly Father only give good gifts to His children? How much more so? He is perfect, we are not. That will mean at times God giving us exactly what we ask for. As we ask for good things, God will give us those good things. And of course, it will mean not giving us what we ask for if we're not asking exactly as in line with what God knows is good. And there's wonderful and important truths in this. Because if God was just a benevolent genie who always blindly gave us exactly what we asked for, we would be in a mess. Because often we ask for things that ultimately are not best to receive, and we can't know what's best in all situations. But our Father in heaven is perfect. He knows all things. He loves us deeply. He's not constrained by a lack of power or wisdom. Indeed, if you ask it, it will be given to you. If that were just a thoroughly automated, mindless activity on God's behalf, prayer would be a magic wand too dangerous for any of us to use. Because at best we see a handful of pieces from part of this jumbo jigsaw puzzle. God sees it all. God made the world, the universe. And God is our loving Father. He knows the big picture and He loves us and works out His purposes in us and through us. So putting together today verses 7 and 8 with verses 9 to 11, we are to ask, seek and knock. We are to ask, seek and knock. Confident that God will eagerly, freely, continually respond to our requests, giving what is good and what is right and what furthers the great things that need to be furthered. This is amazing. To think that we can come before a God that is perfectly righteous, He does no wrong, who is infinitely wise, He knows just what is right and good perfectly. The one who is eternal, He can see the end from the beginning. He really knows what is good. Think of that God who is infinitely loving, so that all of His power and knowledge and goodness are perfectly applied to maximize our joy for eternity, to maximize the purposes of God, the good purposes for eternity. Friends, this is prayer. This is great. This is incredible. This is amazing. This is something to be so excited about. Years ago, I came across an article from a famous church leader, a mega church pastor, Dr. Yonggi Cho. Probably heard of him, South Korean. And he suggests that in heaven there's a big warehouse of unclaimed presents. He suggests that we should be praying more so that we get those presents, the presents that God has in His storehouse come to us. Cars, goods and pleasures that God wanted to give us, but He just didn't have permission because we didn't ask. His point was, ask specifically and clearly for everything that you could possibly want. Spoil yourself. Now, I want to say that's terrible theology. We can talk about it later if you want to. Yonggi Cho, he was promoting what's known as the health and wealth gospel. So I'll just say that's bad theology. But as I think back on that article, I start to wonder if perhaps there's more of an element of truth to what he was saying than I feel comfortable with or is in my experience at the moment. I want us just to revisit that for just a few moments. Perhaps there's a totally different truth in what he was saying to what he even thought he was saying. Perhaps there could be a warehouse of sorts in heaven with unclaimed things, just like he was talking about, as in that there is like this unclaimed section in heaven, perhaps, metaphorically speaking. not stashed full of BMWs and nice houses and designer clothes that Christians forgot to ask for, but a warehouse filled with truly important things that would further the strength of the church, the spread of the gospel. That doors would be opened, that there'd be tools for doors to be opened that would be used. Perhaps they're sitting unused in heaven. I want you to meditate upon that. Think about that. After all, James 4:2 does say, you do not have because you do not ask. Let's understand, he's not talking about BMWs either. What is he talking about? And James makes clear that he's not talking about health, but truly important things revolving around deep, close relationships with God. The truth is, when we fail to seek, ask, knock, we fail to miss out on receiving some of the wonderful privileges that God has given us of eternal significance. Are we not to earnestly ask for wisdom? Are we not to earnestly ask for strength and boldness to proclaim the gospel? Just moments ago, we were exhorted to pray in a particular context for those kinds of things. Is that not something we ought to be praying for people in the context that we were just talking about, but also in our context, in every context? To earnestly pray for wisdom, even in hard secular times, strength and boldness to proclaim the gospel. An earnest prayer that God would do what we cannot do under any circumstances. Growth, spiritual growth. God alone does it. Perhaps that room that I'm asking us to imagine, perhaps it's full of fertilizer, spiritual fertilizer that's not been used because we haven't asked for it. Do we not need to seek from God receptiveness to his glorious gospel? Now, more than ever, perhaps. Friends, let's pray earnestly for things that truly count. And as we look around here, there's enormous diversity and creativity and God will work in us and through us in a diverse number of ways, in diverse places. No two of us are the same, but we've got opportunities to grow as a follower of Jesus that help others to grow as a follower of Jesus. It's a spiritual activity. Let's seek earnestly God's intervention for it to be fruitful. We're drawing toward the end of this encouragement, and I feel the need to speak even more forthrightly about prayer, earnest prayer. Please listen to a poem I came across. In fact, you might have come across this before. It's a famous poem allegedly found in the pocket of a soldier who was killed in a battle. Okay, so that's an interesting context. Whatever is in this prayer, the person has been killed, even as a young person. Here is what the poem says. I asked God for strength that I might achieve. I was made weak, that I might learn humbly to obey. I asked for health, that I might do greater things. I was given infirmity, that I might do better things. I asked for riches, that I might be happy. I was given poverty, that I might be wise. I asked for power, that I might have the praise of man. I was given weakness, that I might feel the need of God. I asked for all things that I might enjoy life. I was given life that I might enjoy all things. I got nothing that I asked for, but everything that I'd hoped for. I am among all souls most richly blessed. What a wonderful perspective. And that holds true for eternity, even though the one who wrote it was shot dead. God answers prayers perfectly according to his great plans and purposes. Sometimes we don't understand why God answers in the ways that he does. Sometimes we live with pain and disappointment that can go all the way to our grave. Sometimes we do see, sometimes we don't see the goodness in answers that God gives. But because God is God and we are not, he is to be trusted and we are to be prayerful. We're to seek his intervention. We're to be spurred on to pray with earnestness, confident in the goodness of God, our Heavenly Father. Which brings us to the last verse in our passage today, a magnificent statement called the Golden Rule. Verse 12. So in everything, do to others what you would have them to do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets. What a great statement. It's very famous. They're very wise and wonderful words. But why is it mentioned here? That's a question I asked. It doesn't seem to follow on from verse 11. It starts, though, with the word so. And when something starts with the word so, it means basically in the light of what's just been said. There has to be a connection. What's the link? Some people suggest the word so, it might even be referring back to the whole of the Sermon on the Mount. In the light of everything that I've just said, Jesus is saying, so, it's possible, but it's not likely. I seriously think there's a strong link here to the very words just before it. That precisely because God is always and only persistent in giving his children good gifts, we're called and enabled to treat people well, irrespective of how they treat us. And that as we ask, seek, and knock, we will have the strength to love, even when fellow humans hate us in return. That God's love for us enabled us to love others even when they don't deserve it. God's answer to our prayers of asking, seeking, and knocking. God's gracious answers to those prayers enabled us to love even when we're hated for marching to the beat of a different drum. Today we've heard from Jesus about prayer, the awesome, powerful privilege of prayer. Asking, seeking, knocking at the door of our Lord God Almighty, our gracious Father. Earnestly and urgently asking, seeking, and knocking because of the need in the world. The need that was, the need that is. The need for people to meet the Lord Jesus, to trust him as Savior and Lord. Prayer is this remarkable privilege, yet it's so easy to get squeezed to the margins of our life or beyond. We've got time for watching TV, for texting, Facebooking, sitting at footy, for working, for drinking coffee, for resting. We easily find hours for what we want to do, but we find it hard to find time for prayer. I don't think anybody here will be objecting to that analysis. That's my analysis for myself, and I'm sure it is for us all. We fit in what we want to fit in, but prayer easily goes to the margins. So it could be fitting, certainly would be fitting, to call us to repentance. Perhaps we could have a list of practical tips of how we can fit prayer into our lives as well. But I encourage you to do that yourself, to come before God, to repent and to examine and ask God for wisdom as to how prayer will be more significant in your life. But I want us to close with an understanding. Prayer is an awesome blessing. May that be ringing in our ears. Prayer is an awesome blessing. May we see the importance, the significance, the joy, the wonder of prayer. So that we continually ask for our daily provision, for protection from evil, that God's will be done, and that we'd seek first God's kingdom and knock on the door that God Almighty has brought us to, without being waylaid by worry and materialism and the like. And may we as a church become more prayerful. May we understand afresh, prayer is an awesome blessing. And the consequence of understanding that is that we will privately pray deeply and boldly daily. It won't be something we do just when we come to church. We'll work out ways to pray expansively and seriously, perhaps even lists. Some people use lots of lists and reading and praying through the scriptures. Friends, God puts his finger upon us through the scriptures. Pray through the scriptures. Be inspired by the prayers that you read in the scriptures, but also pray through things as you read the scriptures. There's also prayer requests and news waves. There's SMS phone prayer chains and the like. And if you're not on that list, talk to Kay. May we be people that privately pray deeply and boldly daily, and join with others whenever you can to pray deeply and boldly. It's an important part of our growth groups, praying together. There used to be a pre-service prayer meeting. It doesn't happen very often these days. Why not gather before church services in a room just over here? What about coming here on Tuesday mornings if you can, at 8 a.m? There's times that we pray together, and that's one of the times. What about pray first? You see the little logo in your news waves. Pray first. That's just a little logo that we have. It encourages. When you're talking to somebody and they say a situation or an opportunity, instead of saying, I will pray for you, and then you forget about doing it, pray right there and then, in the foyer, in the cafe, on the street, in the lounge room. Pray first. You can pray later as well, but pray first as well. Ask for daily provision, protection from evil. Ask that God's will be done, seeking first God's kingdom, knocking persistently, that God's ways would be fulfilled. Let's come before God and let's pray in the light of the exhortation we've seen today. Let's pray. Father, we come today overjoyed at the truth of your word. You have yet again spoken to us about your greatness, your goodness, your love, your provision, your power. We're people to ask for a daily provision for protection from evil, and we ask and pray those very things. We are in an evil world. We are needy people, not just us. We all people on the planet have significant needs. And you are the provider of all good things. We come to seek first your kingdom. We do confess that our own kingdom eclipses our yearning for your kingdom far too often. But we seek earnestly your kingdom to be furthered, even using us. And we knock persistently at your door, that we would not be waylaid by worry and materialism, and deterred by the little obstacles before us, but that we would proceed furthering your purposes. And we pray these things in your precious name. Amen.